Hello, everyone, and welcome to Managed Healthcare Executives' monthly Tuning into the C-Suite podcast. In this podcast series, editors of MHE chat with healthcare professionals and executives in the C-Suite. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery and organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm an editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this month's episode of Tuning into the C-Suite, Managing Editor Peter Werwein talks with Rick Bates, President and CEO of RxSense. In his conversation with Werwein, Bates described RxSense as a technology platform company that has expertise in the direct-to-consumer business. He emphasized that RxSense is not a pharmacy benefit manager, but rather a company that supplies PBMs with technology, including some of the up-and-coming PBMs such as Emsana Rx and Vivid Clear Rx. Bates and Werwein also discussed the Mark Cuban Cost Plus Drugs and RxSense launching a standalone business intelligence product called RxIQ.
So, as you know, we've been doing a lot of work at MHE about sort of upstart PBMs that are trying to challenge the big three on various fronts. I'm curious what you think of that, think about that, and how your company fits into that story, or maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think that there isn't a tremendous market opportunity to disrupt the biggest players. I mean, they're obviously, they've been enormously successful. They're well entrenched. They have tremendous economic power, across all market segments. But at the same time, there's always opportunity for new and emerging business models that can create more value. And in some instances, that value is created around transparency of pricing. In others, it could be based on service models. And I think that, you know, one of the difficulties that each of the big three face is their ability to be as attentive as they need to be to each of their individual customers, especially in the middle market, because they're just such, you know, enormous organizations. And I do think that many of these new emerging PBMs are going to find paths to be pretty successful. And then you also have to consider the fact that they don't need to win the largest customers, right? They can, you know, some of these new players can be very successful in regional markets or in just in a subsegment of a marketplace. And you don't have to be all things to all people. So you just need to, you know, pick your spots, and whether it's Capital Rx or Mark Cuban's Cost Plus Drug Company, I do think they're going to find paths to do really, really well. So, we're different.
Yeah. Carry on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we're different. RxSense is a technology platform company that has expertise in the direct-to-consumer business. I think we have the most sophisticated pricing capabilities. We're totally transparent in our business model, and we're really a product manufacturer. We want to enable people in the PBM space or folks who want to manage their own benefits, right? So some of our customers own their own pharmacies, and they have chosen our platform to administer benefits for their own employees. There are two great examples of startup PBMs, Emsana and Vivid Clear. And we're the Intel inside, right? Both of those companies run on our platform. And I think they're both going to find paths to be very, very successful in the markets that they're pursuing. You know, it takes time, and these businesses do require a fair amount of capital to get going. But it's our responsibility to provide the best, most modern tech across the pharmacy ecosystem to any number of potential partners so that we can enable them to run better businesses.
So you contract with PBMs, but also with pharmacies, is that right? So
yeah, so we have PBMs as customers, okay? And we partner with them. They'll run their business on our RX Agile and RX IQ enterprise platform. And then we contract directly with retail pharmacies because we have our own businesses that we manage in the direct-to-consumer space where we're delivering the cost of the drug to the consumer. So we have direct relationships with the retail pharmacies to do that.
And the retail pharmacy that you contract with would not be the major chains, right? It would be the independents. It would not be.
No, it's all of the major chains, actually. It's the CVS's, Walgreens, Walmart, Kroger, the Albertsons, you know, the large grocer chains. So we very much created direct relationships so that we could build a transparent pricing solution, whether it's for our B2B customers that want to get their cost of goods from us and run on our platform, or if it's our own businesses that are, you know, in the direct-to-consumer space with our brand SingleCare, where, you know, we're trying to get consumers the best price possible at all of the major chains.
So who are your competitors? What are the sorts of businesses that I should think about as being operating in your area of the pharmacy pharmacy jungle?
Yeah. Well, so there's some direct competitors of ours that are platform companies like Tretium or Abarca. But, you know, it's a really important distinction that we need to make. We're not a PBM. Okay. We don't compete against our customers, right? We're just delivering the technology solutions. And then in our savings card space, the direct to consumer business, you know, we administer the programs for a number of our competitors. They run on our platform, and that's been a really strong part of our business. And we've really, I think, built excellent partnerships with these customers because we've given them the same tools that we've used to build the single care business, right? So we've really tried to help enable them to be more successful and grow their business. And then, you know, obviously everyone, you know, is pretty familiar with GoodRx. And if you think of the savings card space, we would be GoodRx's largest competitor.
How are the copay accumulator and maximizer programs affecting your business? As you know, they've become increasingly put in place by PBMs, and I was reading something this morning, there's 16 or so states that have banned them outright. Has that had an effect on your business?
No, I don't think it's had any material impact on our business. You know, when we market to consumers, we're really pushing the message that they should be price shopping for all of their prescriptions because they could find an opportunity where it's going to cost them less to pay cash through single care than their copay is, or if they're in a high deductible health plan, than the way that their PBM or health plan partner has priced the drug. And I think our message is, in this day and age, people should be shopping for their prescription drugs the same way they buy other consumer products, right? Especially if you're taking generic drugs, because you can find price transparency incredibly quickly on the web, and you can figure out what your insured cost would be, And you also will see the price differences between certain retail chains too. So, you know, it might be much more affordable for you to go to Kroger instead of the pharmacy that you've been using, you know, more regularly.
But I think I would think it would affect your business because if the coupon sort of changes the price experience of the consumer, and that's the idea, right? It shields me from out of pocket costs. But then all of a sudden, bam, I see the full cost because the accumulator program hasn't put the value of the coupon towards my deductible. That would seem to just, it would sort of seem to change the shopping dynamic considerably.
Well, so if you think about how small a percentage it is of people who actually hit their deductibles, it's only about 15% of consumers. And when you look at the vast majority of generic drugs that are purchased for cash, the majority of those drugs are under $25. So it's really a decision about saving money now, because this isn't the spend that's going to make you hit your deductible, right? So if I'm a consumer and I can get my drug with my $20 copay, or I could pay $12 for it if I paid cash, I'm going to pay $12, right?
Right. Okay. What about Mark Cuban's business? That would seem to be affect your business. His whole model is that he's going to find you the cheapest generic drug, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very complicated business to acquire drugs and be competitive with price. And they're going to find many opportunities where they can do that successfully. But there's also a difference between scale, you know, the purchasing power of other very large, well-established mail order pharmacies. I think they have a great concept. There's a tremendous amount of energy around in the marketplace, but I'm not worried. I mean, they're a partner of ours, right? So we want them to be successful. We want to find more ways to support them. But when I look at what they're doing, I don't think they're going to be cannibalizing scripts from any other part of the market. I think they're going to be creating more demand for a cash pay market, and they're going to be pushing transparency, just like we do with our single care business. And I think that they're going to end up being partners with some PBMs, because they'd be really smart if they could get more fulfillment.
Right. Right. Well, they have struck deals with MSANA, and I think the Right Way, maybe.
Yeah.
So
and
maybe some others that I'm not mentioning. I'm sorry, when you say that Mark Cuban's low-cost pharmacy is a partner of yours, is the Cuban business using your tech?
They don't use our entire enterprise solution. They just use a piece of our technology that they wrap into some of their business.
Okay. So what are your plans going into 2023? Is it sort of doing more of the good work you've been doing, or is there any novel direction that you're taking?
Yeah, we are. You know, we'll continue to focus on all of our core capabilities and continue to make significant levels of investment. And we expect that each of our businesses will grow better than 20% year over year. But I think the big change for us is we've got two pretty significant initiatives. One is we really want to build direct partnerships with select pharma manufacturers, where we can pull their copay coupons for branded drugs through the singlecare.com site and create even more competitive pricing for consumers. And I think there's an awful lot of meaningful market opportunity there And clearly GoodRx has been successful building a number of those relationships. So that's a logical place for us to extend our business. And then I think the most exciting thing that we're doing is, you know, we have this data analytics engine called RxIQ, and it has all of our business intelligence tools. So it's how we run our company using this, and our customers rely heavily on it to give them headlights into their business. So RxIQ gives us all the information on financial management, pricing of drugs, contract management to make sure we're compliant with our retail pharmacies and the market positions we've agreed to there. It gives us operational reports, and it also gives us all the information we need on clinical performance. So the way that we've deployed RxIQ in the marketplace has, it is required that you run your business on our platform, right? I made the decision just in the fourth quarter that we were going to offer RxIQ as a standalone product. So we're in the process today of really building out the capabilities so that we can ingest a customer's data and give them access to, you know, all of these business intelligence tools that we've created. So they have them, you know, in our world, it's near real time, but in their world, it would really be as often as they would update our data warehouse, right? So think that should probably be something that's done daily. And I think by separating it from our platform, we're going to create a significant new market opportunity for our company. But beyond that, this is not just a business-to-business solution. We're investing in building the messaging capabilities so that as somebody wants to deploy RxIQ over an employer customer, we'll be able to push messaging to their employees that could give them information on finding a lower cost drug or switching their dosages or even drug switching. It could give them reminders for adherence, right? But we think we can leverage our technology platform and fully automate a really important business intelligence engine that will help consumers change behavior. So this is really looking out to, you know, there'll be some revenue opportunities for us in 2023, but I think we can really move the market in 2024 and 2025 with this capability. There shouldn't need to be manual processes around getting interventions with consumers. We should be able to use technology to give people information when they need it, right? So decisions around where you go to get your drug, okay? Should it be mail order? Is it cheaper at this particular retail pharmacy than another one? You know, are you on the right medications? And, you know, folks have multiple drugs prescribed to them by multiple doctors, right? It isn't, we still have a very fragmented system. And we think by capturing all the information, we can really build something that will reach consumers and influence them to change their behaviors in a healthy, supportive way.
And the customers for this sort of data analytics slash consumer adherence, advice, experience would be my insurance company, the third party administrator, if it was a self-insured plan.
Here's how we are going to approach the market. We're going to start with PBMs and third party administrators and health plans. Okay, that's where we see the most immediate and logical business to business opportunity. In turn, though, we're going to build out the capabilities so that those business-to-business customers can then use our tech to push messaging downstream to their employer groups, right? And because what we really believe is if you can reach the consumer, you're going to be very effective at changing behavior. And there's a company that has done this incredibly well called RX Savings Solutions. They recently have been acquired by McKesson, and they have targeted the employer marketplace and working with brokers and consultants, right? And I think the market opportunity here is enormous, absolutely enormous. And so we're very committed to getting into this space, but we're going to start with kind of our core customer base, around mid-market PBMs.
Pulling back just a little bit, and I'm just, trying to, in my own mind, and maybe anybody who watches this or reads whatever I write off of it. As you know, there's this sort of inexorable trend in the pharmaceuticals where we're seeing, roughly half of the spending on drugs on specialty drugs, which tend to be high priced. Many of them don't have generics yet. I'm just curious, whether the sort of solutions that you're talking about are going to work in areas where the, some of the, we're talking drugs that cost $1 million or treatments that cost $1 million. Are you working in the part of the sector where it's chronic disease, millions of people, and sort of shopping for the right price on a diabetes drug or an asthma inhaler? Or are you going to be able to reach into areas like, cancer or hemophilia or, where so much of the action seems to be in the pharmacy industry?
So I think that's a great question. So the only time we get involved with specialty drugs is if we are we're the platform for somebody and we're connecting to their specialty provider. But we have a number of specialty provider relationships, but that is not an area where we are building direct capabilities to try to influence care management. I think that the specialty pharmacies, many of them have really well-run and well-designed programs to manage that. It's a small percentage of claims, but it is 50% of the spend, right? I think it's about 1% of total scripts, but 50% of the spend. And so that's an area where there's a tremendous amount of energy, and we're happy to let others be experts there. But we do focus on chronic conditions, pretty extensively. I mean, that's about two-thirds of our script volume in our savings card businesses ends up being chronic condition generic drugs.
Last question. I'm just curious that we're seeing the rollout of some of the healthcare provisions of the Inflation Drug Act. There's various regulatory decisions being talked about. Is there anything that's happening in sort of policy or politics in 2023 that would affect your business?
There isn't anything on our radar that we're concerned about, right? I mean, we don't. I applaud a number of the changes where, the government is going to be able to purchase select drugs directly and negotiate directly. And I think that's a small percentage of drugs, but they're super high cost drugs, right? So, those are some good steps forward. And I don't look at, I mean, we're a transaction-based company, right? So we basically get a fee every time a script's filled. We don't make spread on our business. And it's much more of a SaaS model when you think about how we make money. And I think we're trying to build new services and capabilities that just promote transparency, and it's all fee driven for us. So we pay quite close attention to the regulatory environment, but I don't think that there's anything on the horizon that is troubling to us.
Thanks for tuning into this month's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit us at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.